You know, the online world is great for so many things. It's great for making you laugh, it's great for entertainment, and every now and again you come across ideas or people that literally blow your mind. But I still think some of my best thinking happens offline. So join me, Nessa, on Offline Thoughts as I chat about some of the things I think about when I'm not online. I'm really glad you're listening, and I hope you enjoy the episode. So in today's episode, I wanted to talk about quitting. So if you're anybody who's ever had a job or has a job or intends to have a job, the inevitable time will come when you have to make a decision when to leave. Ideally, and what I'll focus on this episode is you want the decision to come from you. You don't want it to be the circumstances under which you find yourself that essentially drive you into quitting before you're ready or before you've had time to prepare. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about like knowing when the right time is to quit, why you should quit, and then I'm going to talk about essentially how to quit well. And by that, I mean quitting on terms that you can be proud of, quitting in a way where you feel like you've been in control of the situation, and in a way that means that you can look back at the workplace and feel like you did everything right, like you left on your own terms, you left on good terms, and if you ever had to like run into somebody from that old workplace, you don't feel like you have to cross the street from shame. So going straight into it then, like knowing when to quit. Five things that I thought about. The first, and I would say this is probably the most important one, is you should quit as soon as possible if you get any sniff or any indication that the company you're with is going under, or they're going down, or they're going to become bankrupt, or they're going to be forced to make redundancies. You want to move like without delay because you don't know like on which side the hammer is going to come down. You might be the person who's axed, especially if you're the junior or you're the latest comer, or I have to say, if you're not the highest performer. So if you get an indication that things aren't going well, start planning straight away. Now, some of the ways that you can work out that things aren't going badly for the company is if you notice any cost-cutting exercises. So it could be like big things. Let's say like typically you get a bonus annually at Christmas time, whether it's dependent on the company's revenues. So if the company does well, like each employee gets a percentage of the bonus. And it could be like something humble. It could be like you get 100 quid, or it could be like something more substantial, like maybe you get like 10k or whatever it is. If typically you get a bonus based on the company's performance and you don't get a bonus that year, that obviously implies that the company didn't do well. If it's also based on your own personal performance and you know that you've done very well that year and you still don't get a bonus, again, it's an indication that the company's revenues aren't good. Or if you haven't particularly excelled that year, but it hasn't been any different to any other years when you did receive a bonus, but for some reason this year you didn't get your bonus, again, it's an indication the company isn't doing as well as it was in previous years. So that's like an example of like big things, bonuses. But many people don't get bonuses, but they are promised like pay rises, because towards the end of the year, at least in previous jobs that I've had, it's usually at the end of the year, or sometimes they take it, it's in the summer in anticipation for like the end of the year, you have an annual review. And that review is to like assess your performance. And also it's to assess whether you're due a pay rise or like a title change that can be interpreted as a promotion. So if you have like a really positive review in the summer and nothing happens at the end of the year, there's no pay bump, there's no like change in your title, there's no acknowledgement or change to acknowledge how well you've done that previous year, it probably indicates that they don't have the money to spend on you. Another exception as well is sometimes you can get a promotion, but really you should be getting money. If all they do is like throw a title change at you and give you no money, sometimes as well that's an indication that the company is either cheap, or it can be an indication that things aren't going well financially, because typically what happens is if you get a title change, usually like 9 times out of 10, like you are supposed to get money. So in terms of identifying when the company isn't doing well financially, one of the big like neon signs is if there's any indication of cost cutting. Now, I've just described big things, but there's also like little things you can notice. Like if typically you get like free tea and coffee and milks and different types of milks. Like, I worked at a workplace where they would have like 5-6 different types of alternative milks. They would have coconut milk, they would have almond, they would have soya, they would have oat, and they'd have like the regular cow milk as well. And they'd have like different types of coffees, they'd have different types of tea bags and honey and just condiments that go with coffee and tea. And then one of the ways I could tell the company wasn't doing well, which by the way came to fruition, was that they started cutting out these things. Like, you'd go to the coffee station and they only had like one alternative milk or two alternative milks. Or, you know, like those big bottles of water, like at the water cooler where you take your glass and you fill it up and it's like filtered water. That used to always be like full and replaced as soon as it's empty. There was a period of time where there was like a sign saying, like, just use tap water because there's an issue ordering the bottles of water. And I just felt like that was actually another cost-cutting exercise. So if you notice like little things, like, and it sounds like petty, but all those things are indications that they're trying to save like every last penny that they can. Another thing is, if you typically have a Christmas dinner, like if you're in the UK, most workplaces will have some kind of Christmas do. So it might be a Christmas lunch, it might be a Christmas dinner, it might be Christmas drink, but usually there's some kind of like getting together of the whole organization, and they spend a decent chunk of money on their employees on this event. And that's, you know, that's an important exercise as far as corporate culture goes, because it boosts like team morale. It provides people the opportunity to like get together and socialize and do it in a way that isn't like stiff. You know, there's usually lots of alcohol available at these events. So it's kind of like a last hurrah together before the new year begins. So it's very important for this, like for cementing like team morale and team dynamics. And so if that suddenly gets canceled or scaled down in a way that's noticeable, again, it's another indication that things aren't going well and they're trying to cost cut. Another indication that things might not be going well for the company is if you start to notice that there's a lot of secretive meetings taking place. Like before, maybe management would have like meetings, but they would be like open door meetings, or they would be sort of like meetings where you can, if you walk by, if you have like one of those offices where it's like glass and you can see the people inside, it usually looks like relaxed in the sense that people are conversing, they're leaning back in their chairs, they've got like a presentation on the screen, somebody standing or sitting and presenting, and it just looks normal. If that's typically what you see, but then you start to notice like they're whispering, or you start to notice that they're huddled in somebody's office, or it's trying to have meetings in places that aren't very visible, or they're suddenly going to get coffee, all of them together. And as they're passing you, there's like an air of seriousness, an air of like hush hush, or things shouldn't be revealed to the rest of the employees. Usually they do that because it's bad news. I mean, sometimes it could be because there's like a merger taking place, or like there's an investment that's about to be made. But typically that has a different energy. That's an energizing energy. That's like a positive, like hush hush. I'm talking about getting the sense that there's some kind of secret or collusion or silence or attempt to like keep information from the wider team. Typically that's bad news, and often it's connected to the performance of the company. So again, like if you notice all these things, that's an indication that your ship that you're on is going down. A final thing I'll mention actually in terms of like then if like knowing when the company's going down through like cost cutting is, if you hear it from anyone, and I mean like anyone, if you hear like a janitor or like a secretary or like or a personal assistant or a random employee like talk about how they think the company isn't doing well, or how they heard that that redundancies are coming, or how they've heard that people are going to be let go. If you hear anybody at any level say that to you, like take it as fact, because that's a random thing for people to say. And not only random, it's kind of like people's biggest fear in employment, that the company they're in is going to let them go because they have no money anymore. So it's a random thing for people to like speculate on and to imagine or to make up. Chances are somebody somewhere overheard a conversation or saw an email, or they were brought into the inside group and told information they shouldn't have been told. And that through like whispers has gotten all the way to you. So if you hear that from anybody, just take it as fact. Just assume that that's a random thing to make up, and chances are that it's not coming from nowhere. So that's the first reason of knowing when to quit, when you identify any cost-cutting exercises from the company. The second thing is, if you feel like you've been somewhere and you're no longer growing, or you feel like you're no longer like learning anything new, that like you can do everything on autopilot, and on top of that, like, you haven't gotten any pay rises in a while, so your pay has stagnated, like, don't waste your precious vitality on these people. Like, go somewhere where you're intellectually engaged, where you feel like you're being challenged, you're learning how to do new things. Because the downside about being bored or being unengaged or unstimulated at work is, the flip side of that is, you're not going to have opportunities to shine. Like, if things aren't engaging you intellectually, it also means that you don't have an opportunity to like show that you can rise to challenges, show that you can think creatively, show that you can like do things that people didn't expect of you. So it's like the stagnation goes along with you not being able to show up as the best version of you, which means, again, you're not going to get a pay rise because you're not being given opportunities to learn new things and to excel at new challenges. So if you feel like you've been stagnating for the past couple of years or 5 years or, God, like 10 years, it's time to leave. Like, you've overstayed in that job because that job is no longer upskilling you. It's no longer stimulating you. And not only is that not good for your own like sense of enjoyment at work, it's also not going to be good for your like progression, because nobody's going to see you as like a rising star or somebody who's overperforming, because again, you're not being engaged or stimulated. The other time you should quit is if you like go for a job interview, like an internal job interview. So you're already working at the place, and then they advertise a role internally that you feel that you're qualified for. And then you go to apply for that job, and the first time you don't get it, that's fine. Okay, once you can overlook it, still you should be a little bit salty. You should be a little bit suspicious. But if you should go for like another opportunity, like a second time, and you again don't get that job, like, just know that you need to leave, because it means that the organization or HR, the team that recruits, don't believe in you or your abilities. Otherwise, they wouldn't have looked you over twice. And the second reason why that should be your cue to leave is you've essentially cemented yourself as a loser in their eyes. So you've gone for two separate job roles and like internal job roles, and you've been rejected twice. Like, that doesn't reflect well on you. It creates this idea in their minds that something is wrong with you, or you're not qualified, or you're not a good worker, because otherwise you wouldn't have failed twice. It's kind of like when Hillary Clinton ran for the presidency twice. So the first time she ran and she lost, we were like, oh, like, God, that's so unlucky. Although she did go against Barack Obama, like she was never going to win that. And given the time we were in, and it was just coming off of Bush's tenure, she was not going to win that fight, even though she was like an institutional name. But when she went against Trump, in her second time trying to go for the presidency, and she lost that second time, there's no way she could come back a third time, like, asking for us to vote for her. Not only is that like personally humiliating, but it also has cemented in the public's imagination that she's a loser, that she's somebody who is unable to win, because she's gone for the presidency twice, and twice she has not won. So it's the same thing in the work context. Like, it's not as though you apply in a vacuum. you're going to have to tell your line manager you're applying for this role. They're going to have to like give you the go-ahead to go and apply. They might even help you prepare. Other colleagues might know that you're going to apply for that role. Certainly the team in HR that like conduct the sifting, that arrange the interviews are going to know. Certainly the leadership that are going to be the ones conducting that interview are also going to know that you've applied for those two internal jobs. And in the eyes of all those people, they're going to see you fail like twice. So you're unlikely to come out stronger at the other side of that. So if that happens to you, you should leave, because not only do they not recognize your contribution and your value, they also don't believe in your abilities, but also, as I've said, you've kind of cemented in their eyes or minds the idea that like you're a loser. I hate to say it that way, but that's kind of how people think. Fourth reason of like timing and knowing when to quit is if you experience like any bullying or harassment at work, and I mean like simple bullying where people are always like, you're always the butt of people's jokes, or they're always picking on you for like the worst jobs to do, or the dirtiest jobs, or the toughest jobs, or the thankless jobs, or the undoable jobs, like jobs where essentially you were always going to fail because it's an impossible task. Or if you're being like harassed or bullied on racial, sexual, religious, or any other protected characteristic, just know that even if you report these things to HR, and I don't necessarily think you should like not report it, but just know that you reporting it to HR is not going to yield you positive results. Like 9 times out of 10, anybody who's ever reported anything to HR will know that HR will never take your side. And the reason why they will never take your side is because it basically means that the organization is taking on the liability of accepting that there's abuse of power or bullying or discrimination in their workplace. That's what HR is. HR is a team of people who are protecting the interests of the company, and they are very like closely connected to the legal department. And so they're very aware that things are brought to them have legal ramifications. So if you were to go to HR, for example, and said that you are being sexually harassed or racially harassed or harassed on religious grounds, and the HR team was like, oh my God, like we completely agree that that's happening, and we are so sorry that this manager or this person did this to you, and we're going to like conduct an investigation, not that we don't believe you, but we're going to conduct an investigation to gather information, and then we're going to fire this person. It might feel good for you, but guess what they've done? They've put in black and white confirmation of your allegations that it is a discriminatory workplace to work in, or it's a workplace that allows or permits or has bullying or harassment, which means that you're one step away from being able to mount a legal case against them. So they are not going to take your side 9 times out of 10, because even if they personally empathize or sympathize with you, like there's a legality connected to accepting the claims that you make against whoever you're making those claims against. So if they accept that whatever is happening to you is true, then they may face you suing them later on, which is why 9 times out of 10, they will not take your side, at least not in the final analysis. Like they may like have encouraging meetings with you and like be empathetic towards you and like communicate through their expressions and their words the fact that they've got empathy for you. But when it comes time to like writing it down and leaving a paper trail, chances are the hammer will come down against you. So if you find yourself in these circumstances where you're being harassed or bullied, start plotting your exit. Even if you report it to HR because you intend to have a paper trail, because you intend to, you know, go and sue them or go and bring a case in at the employment tribunal, just know that they're not going to protect you. They're not going to look after you. The workplace is going to become hostile to you after you make those allegations to HR. So better for you to start applying for jobs first, or even secure something and then make those allegations, because then you're already on your way out. You already have somewhere secured. You've got a paper trail of what's happened and why you're leaving. And then if you do need to bring like a case against them, you still have a record of what's happened. Another thing I will add actually under this section is if you are experiencing those things at work, if you are experiencing like harassment or bullying, make sure you record everything. Make sure you keep an online diary that you have access to. You record what's happened, when, communications, emails they've sent you, like keep all the paperwork so that when you do leave and it is time for you to mount a case, you have all those documentations, all that documentation accessible to you. If you don't intend on mounting a case against them for whatever reason, for financial reasons, or even just like the emotional toll it takes in bringing legal cases against your employer or former employer, if you don't intend on bringing a case, then leave before they've chipped away at your own sense of self-confidence and happiness and joy. Because ultimately, when people are like harassing you or bullying you, that's what they want out of it. Like, they essentially want you to be downtrodden. They want to sap your energy. They want to sap your happiness. They want to sap like your hope. So like, leaving as soon as possible when you identify this behavior is going to like allow you to walk away still feeling that inner sense of knowing that you're on the right side of things. They haven't like convinced you or gaslit you into thinking that you've done anything wrong, because truly there's nothing you can do to deserve being harassed or bullied at work. Now, the final section I wanted to talk about under knowing when to quit is if you find yourself in a situation where you suffer like reputational damage. So by that I mean, let's say you sleep with somebody that you shouldn't have, either because it's an embarrassing person to sleep with, or it's because it's a boss or it's a client, and that information gets out. That's an example of suffering reputational damage. Or if you get like sloppy drunk at a work function and you end up like doing crazy things, like coming on to the boss or coming on to people, or embarrassing yourself in front of clients, or God forbid, like falling over or getting sick, or like just something outrageous like that. Like, that's an example of reputational damage. Or let's say, outside the realm of like in the interpersonal, let's say you lose a big deal. Like, everybody was all amped up for you to like execute this deal or for you to like close this deal. It was basically assumed that it was like a foregone conclusion. And then like you fumble and lose it. That's reputational damage. Or if you should cost the company money in another way, that's reputational damage. Or like in the more embarrassing field again, let's say you like shit yourself at work, or like you have like a breakdown at work, or you have some kind of other like personal situation that shows you in a negative light in a way that is likely to encourage lots of gossiping and whispering about you. Or in a way where it's one of those things that is always going to attach to you. And by that I mean like something that is so extreme or sensationalist or outrageous or embarrassing that people are incentivized to remember and to think about it and to connect it to you and to bring it up and to think about it, then it's very unlikely you can resuscitate like your reputation from that kind of blow. And if your reputation becomes damaged beyond reparation, then you should leave, because in terms of your progress at that company, in terms of like the respect that your colleagues have for you, all of that is essentially wiped out. So what's the point of staying somewhere where you're unlikely to progress and also people think less of you? So under those five circumstances, like obviously there's a lot more that I could have spoken about, but under these five things, just know that is when it's time to leave. So like I said, when the company's going under, when you're no longer growing or progressing, if you go for a job and they hire somebody else more than once, if you experience bullying or harassment, and then if your reputation becomes damaged in some way. So having covered all of that, then let me just briefly talk about why you should quit as soon as you realize that your work or your job no longer serves you. And there's really only one reason, and that is because, you know, and I've said this in previous episodes, but your employer doesn't care about you in any meaningful way. And it doesn't matter if they call you like family. Honestly, usually that's like a kiss of death. That's usually an indication that the company probably isn't paying you well. So they have to like make you feel good and give you the warm and fuzzies because they're not paying you well and they're not giving you the money that you deserve. So you know they don't care about you because they use these terms in lieu of actually just giving you the thing that matters, i.e. money. Or they make promises about how you're part of the club, but guess what happens when things go wrong for them? Like, they may call you family, they may say you're part of the team or part of the company, or see you two as being like forever intertwined and being a core ingredient of what makes that organization work. But when it comes to recessions or downturns in the economy, or like we saw in COVID, when COVID hit, one of the stories that will always live rent-free in my mind was how Virgin, like the company started by that guy, what's his name? I forget his name, I'll look it up later. How quickly they dismissed lockdown was announced. That's it, lockdown was announced at Tuesday at like 6 p.m. By Tuesday at like 9 p.m., these people had already said they were going to let go of a whole horde of their employees. So, and if you had gone to their website, by the way, at that time, there would have been like smiling pictures of employees, words about how people are at the center of what they do, words about how like they really value their employees. And yet when it came time to like protect their employees, they didn't hesitate in letting them go. So the reason why you should quit is, like, quit when things don't serve you anymore, when jobs don't serve you anymore, is that workplaces will never care about you. Organizations will never care about you. And the second reason actually under this is how you know they don't care about you regardless of what they say, is if you consider the fact that the only way that any company makes money is by paying you less than your true value. And by that I mean, like, if you think about sweatshops, so sweatshops, you have conditions where you have a whole horde of workers who are producing, let's say, footballs or producing like sports tops or sports clothes for companies like Nike or Adidas, as an example. And those companies might pay those poor employees like 10 cents an hour or 50 cents an hour or a dollar an hour, but honestly, it tends to be less than that. But they'll go on to sell like a Nike top for like 50 quid, or they'll go on to sell like a Nike tracksuit pair for like $150 or £150. But they've only paid their employees who've manufactured that garment or those garments like literally pennies, like cents, pennies. And so that gap between what they pay you and what they charge for their final goods or service represents essentially money they've stolen from you, money that they should have paid you for working for them, for producing that thing for you, for them. They've stolen that from you and they've pocketed the difference as profit. That literally applies to all of us, regardless of what your job title is. The way in which your company makes money is by robbing from the employees the fair amount of money they should have been paid. So let's say you work as a lawyer. You usually have billable hours, hours basically where you need to produce work that clients pay for. And so let's say in any given week, you might make the company like £4,000 a week, you know, like if around 4,000, let's say it's like £150 an hour that your firm charges for advice to clients. And you have to produce at least five of those hours every day, and you do that 5 days a week. That's nearly 4,000 quid that you're making the company. But you are definitely not making £4,000 a week. You might be making £1,000 a week, or you might be making less than that. And so again, that gap represents the money that they've taken out of your pocket and that they've pocketed as profit. And that applies to like corporate jobs. It also applies to like more like service-based jobs. Like let's say you're a delivery driver. And at with any given drop or delivery, you might be delivering goods that are worth hundreds of pounds. Let's say like you're a grocery, you deliver groceries for a living, and you might see or drop off like food to 10, 15, 20 houses every day. Each order is probably worth like £100 or $100 minimum, usually, because what's the point of making a small shop because you have to pay for the delivery costs? And usually it's like 8-9 pounds. So let's say people are spending like £100 with each drop, and you do like 20 deliveries a day. You're making the company a lot of money, but you're only getting paid like £9 an hour, or £10 an hour, or £8 an hour, or £11 an hour. Even after accounting for the company's like overheads, the fact that they have to pay for the fuel and the fact that they have to pay for insurance and all that stuff. Even when you take out the cost of all of that, they are always making a profit on the back of exploiting you and not paying you what you deserve or not paying you according to the value that you create for them. So if somebody is literally robbing you all day, every day with a smile on their face, there's no reason why you should owe them loyalty. There's no reason why you should owe that organization that takes from you, that doesn't care about you, loyalty. You don't owe them that. And so when you identify those things that I spoke about in my previous section about knowing when to quit, you shouldn't feel guilty or ashamed or bad about leaving. You should leave because that's the nature of the relationship that you're in with this organization. It should be mutually beneficial. It shouldn't be based on emotion because an organization has no capacity to care about you. Like, even to be honest, like when you go to like a company's documents and you go to like their certificate of incorporation, which is the document that they file when they come into existence, and then you look at their like memorandum of understanding, their MOU, which is a document that basically lists what their mission is and what their obligations or duties are. In any of those documents, and they're important documents, it'll never talk about like how they should treat you well or how they should be loyal to you or how they should care about you. Like, that's stuff they put on the website. But when you get to the nitty gritty, the only enduring thing that applies to all companies is that their number one legal obligation in a lot of cases is to return value to shareholders. And so when you are making the calculus of whether you should leave or when the right timing to leave, and when it comes to thinking about how you should feel about leaving, like, that should give you some sense of like comfort. You're in a like contractual arrangement with them. You're a contracted hand. You're a contracted gun, if you say, shall we say, and nothing more, nothing less. And so you should just leave all the emotions out of that and look at it from that perspective and realize that you can go and be a contracted gun for somebody else when the terms that you signed the initial agreement like no longer hold, or it no longer serves you, or it no longer benefits you. Now, moving on then to like how to quit well. And I have to say, with the benefit of age, with the benefit of like having worked at a few places, you just learn that it's just not worth having that like that fit of quitting. You know, when like somebody says something or does something that just pushes you over the edge and you're like, you know what, I quit, or I'm not coming back, or screw you, I'm done with this place. And whilst that feels good in the moment, and I've definitely had an experience of that, where I was literally cycling to work, which by the way was very unsafe in London, but I was cycling to work, and the previous day, and this was in university, I was working at a clothes store, like part-time, and it was a really annoying place where they were very sexist in that they required you to wear makeup. And now I like wearing makeup, but I don't want to have to wear makeup. I don't want to wear makeup because I've been made to wear makeup, because that's not part of the contract that I signed. So they would like inspect your face to make sure you were wearing makeup. And then also they made you buy the company clothes, because you could only wear the company's clothes when you're working there, but they didn't give it to you for free. So you had to spend your hard earned cash on buying their stocks so that you could represent them in their store. And on top of that, you know, they practice sexism where they made the women like basically like slut it up for the clientele. So anyway, I was cycling to work one day and I was like, you know what, I've had enough of this, especially because the previous day I had been pulled up on the fact that I wasn't wearing lip gloss. Insane. So anyway, I just like quit. Like I was cycling to work and I was like 10 minutes from there, and then I just turned back and I never went back. And then I did that classic thing where you turn off your phone because you're getting all these calls about like where you are, because your shift started like 30 minutes ago and you're still not there. Now, the reason why it's not good to quit in that way is for a multitude of reasons. Like, the first is that philosophically, like, nobody should rule your emotions but you. So when you allow other people to drive you to the point where you make a rash decision, essentially what's happened is they've hijacked your emotions. They have caused you to have an emotional response and take actions based on how they've made you feel. So it is inherently disempowering, I would say. That's the word. It's disempowering. They've taken power from you, the power to decide when and how you quit, because they've been able to like push this button, push this emotional button in you. So like nobody should rule over your emotions but you. That's the first reason why you just shouldn't quit in a fit of rage. It also is because you lose the opportunity to like plan and strategize before you leave. So for example, and I think I've said this in previous episodes related to this kind of topic, is when you quit a job, like ideally you want to have a rainy day fund, because if you quit without having a job, you don't know how long it'll be before you get a job. You hope you'll get a job within a couple of weeks or a couple of months, but who knows? You might quit at the time where a recession literally hits, like a lot of people found themselves in 2008-2009. So you make this decision, you quit, and then it might take you like a year or 6 months to find a job. And whilst that's happening, you still have to pay your life expenses. You still have to pay your rent or your mortgage or your direct debits or just like your monthly expenses. So when somebody like forces you or makes you or coerces you or emotionally pushes you into quitting before you're ready, it robs you of the opportunity to like have savings, to make plans, to have savings, and therefore to not be stressed when you have quit. It also means that you can't tie up loose ends. So for example, why quit when your bonus was due so soon? When somebody emotionally makes you quit in the moment or soon after, you don't think about these things. You don't think about how your bonus was literally in 8 weeks and you could have like held on until then. Or let's say you've already had your annual review and you are going to get a promotion in a few weeks where your title would change to something more senior, which meant that when you go to your next role, instead of applying with a more junior title, you could have applied with a more senior title. You know, you don't get to wait and get those like pieces of information before bouncing, because you've been emotionally triggered into quitting. Another thing is like the value of not quitting in a fit of rage is that you can like make use of the company benefits before you leave. So like if you're going to leave and you don't know where you're going to land, if you have private healthcare, for example, which is the best, even in a country that has like nationalized healthcare, the NHS, which is great, like private healthcare is like a like top notch above that. If you're in a company that has private healthcare, like if you're thinking rationally and not emotionally, you can make sure you rinse that to the max. You can go and get your dentals done. You can go and get like any aches and pains or issues you may have. You can go and get that resolved on the company dime before you leave. And it's a great thing because with the NHS, National Healthcare Service, you might have to wait weeks and months to get the treatment that you need. If it's like a low level thing, if it's like cancer or something serious, they'll see you like the next day. But with like private healthcare, you can get that seen like next Tuesday. Other than private healthcare, there's also other stuff like making sure you take like pillow days or mental health days, because in some workplaces, they'll give you like a couple of days where you can just not show up and you don't have to give like a specified reason. You can just say, oh, I'm having a pillow day, or I'm having a mental health day, or I'm having my just because day. So it's like a nice perk that some companies have. Or even if you don't have those 2 days, you can take like sick leave and have a few days to think about things. So like you can call in sick and say you've got the bug, or say whatever, you know, most of the time, like you can go a week without having to give like a real reason or without having to give a medical certificate. And just take those days to think about things like what the plan is, assess your situation, how much money you have, you know, what it would mean if you were to quit right now on your financial health, on your prospects afterwards, why you need to quit right this very moment. Like, there's all kinds of ways to do things in a measured way, in a way that is unemotional, in a way that allows you to feel like you're in control of the situation, as opposed to just being reactive to how somebody else has made you feel. And honestly, when you leave in that way, when it's something that you have thought about, you've had time to like scheme and plot and plan and strategize, you just feel like you're getting the last laugh in a way. Like, I'm going to leave because it's time for me to leave, and I've made the arrangements I need to leave, and I'm going to leave in a way that means I'm not going to be destitute or homeless or not have money or be in like financial strain because of my decision to leave. Now, the second way to make sure you're quitting well is to make sure you take all important information with you. At a minimum, you want to take like examples of the work you've produced, because I guarantee you, like 6 months from now, a year from now, 5 years from now, you're not going to remember the things that you were doing. You might have spent hours on reports or hours doing research or hours producing X amount of work for the company. But with the passage of time, because you're not doing that work every day, because you have a new job maybe, or just because like more things occupy your mind when you're no longer involved in like your workplace, you're going to forget what you did. So make sure you take copies of the work that you've done so you can properly record it on your CV and that you can refer to it in interviews in a way where it doesn't sound like it's vague. You know, one of the frustrating things is when you leave a job and you apply for a new job like down the line, and then you're in an interview and they're asking you what you did in your last role, and it's coming across like you're lying because you're struggling to remember, because again, like this work is so monotonous most of the time that it doesn't like stick in your mind. So again, like make sure you take the documentation that you need. And I know like sometimes they say like part of the contract is they say that all work products belong to them. In fact, they always say that. Like ignore that. Like just take the information you need, but take it as a hard copy. Like just print it out as opposed to like emailing it to yourself, because usually IT can track that, especially if it's in a field where they're more like prissy about security and about like retention of work that you've produced. If you just print out, like if you have time to think about leaving and you have like weeks or months to plan, you can just be printing documents on a regular basis and putting them into a file and taking them home. And then when you quit, you have everything that you need. Because what often happens is when you give your notice, you become highly surveyed. Like, believe me, like they are going to be monitoring your laptop or your computer or your workstation. They're going to be monitoring like the things you download, the things like you save, the things you email to your a personal email. So like you don't want to try and start collecting documents then. You want to do it like as you go along, like weeks and months before you plan on leaving. The other thing is, like, you shouldn't shout about where you're going. So let's say you've landed yourself a sweet gig or a good job or just somewhere better. Like, you should keep that close to your chest, because one, you never know what kind of like malicious things people may do. You don't know if they, especially like if you're leaving on a bad note, they might like reach out to the company, or they might try and sabotage your role in some way. And even if they don't try and sabotage your job, or they don't go into the company's website and find an email for HR and email them nasty things about you, or send anonymous nasty things about you, even if they don't do that, like you haven't passed your probation. So you might start bragging about going to this great place, and then you don't pass the probation, and now it's like an embarrassment for you. So like, keep it quiet, like leave quietly, leave in a good note, like positively, but don't brag or shout or widely advertise where you're going. The second last point I wanted to talk about in terms of quitting well was like leaving on good terms. And we hear this all the time, like leave on good terms. And what that practically means is, it means like leaving in a way where if you should see them, like if you should see your former work colleagues or your former bosses, or you should have to have like future contact with that organization, you can do so with your head held high because you left on a good note, on good terms. And so it's no problem having to like collaborate in the future. Now, examples of like not quitting well or quitting badly is quitting with no notice. Like when you quit with no notice, so let's say, for example, you just quit on the day, or you just email them something on a Monday morning and then just shut your laptop off saying like you're basically never coming back. When you do that, it leaves people in a lurch. Like there's work they were expecting from you. They were depending on you to fulfill their own jobs. And so they're going to have negative feelings about you, because most people tend to think about things in terms of how it serves them or how it impacts them. And so when you quit, they don't think like, well, God, like they quit so suddenly. I hope they're okay. I hope they're doing well mentally. I hope that something terrible hasn't happened in their lives. 9 times out of 10, like they're not thinking about you. They're thinking about the impact on them. And so when you quit on a bad terms, it's always going to leave a bad taste in their mouths, because you don't give them enough time or any time sometimes to plan for your departure. If you gave them notice, they might be able to start interviewing earlier, they might start transitioning your work from you to like somebody who's going to fill your role on a temporary or a permanent basis. And also it just means that they don't suddenly have to like stop what they were doing to deal with the crisis that you've created by just leaving with no notice. And that applies to like every job. It applies to whether you work as a waitress in a restaurant where you've just quit and now they have to find somebody who's going to like cover your section, or you work in a bar, in a cafe or bar, and it's the same situation, or you're like work delivering things where suddenly they have to find a driver to deliver, you know, to like the 20-30 homes that you were supposed to go to, or like you're a solicitor who had all these meetings like in the books and now it's like it's all in the air. Or literally it applies to anybody across the range. So like quitting with no notice is negative, or is an example of leaving on bad terms, because it always is disruptive to your team, like the direct team that you are working with, and then sometimes to the larger department, and sometimes even to like the organization as a whole if you are more senior in the job. So if you want to leave on good terms, like definitely don't quit with no notice. Another example of not leaving on good terms is like bad mouthing people before you leave. So if you start talking about how you hate this person, that person, or how that person sucks, yeah, like you're gonna feel good temporarily because you're finally like saying what you feel and releasing some frustrations that have probably built up over time. But you're also running the risk that that information is going to like make its way back to the person, especially when you leave, because when you leave, like the loyalty dynamics between colleagues changes. Even if you had a good friend at work, like a good work friend, once you leave, you basically stop existing for them, in the sense that most of us, when we leave jobs, rarely keep in touch with our former colleagues. And so as time passes, they stop being loyal to us, even if they had been loyal to us while we were working at the organization. And they form new bonds and new relationships. And over the course of that, the things that you have said about the person will come out to them. And so when they think about you, you'll leave a bad taste in their mouths, and God forbid you should end up working with them again in the future in some capacity, you've basically destroyed a relationship that you didn't need to destroy, or you've created a situation that might bite you in the ass in the future. So like, don't badmouth people. Just assume that the things you say to the people who are soon to become your former colleagues are probably going to make their way back to the person you're discussing. And another reason why you shouldn't badmouth not only people, but your place of work to your work friends when you've decided to leave, is that whilst you're on your way out and you're about to become a former employee of that company, they still work there. It's still their workplace. When you leave, they are still going to work at that place. And it feels very different bitching about work to a colleague who's in the same position as you, who works the same organization as you. You don't feel as protective about your job and your workplace. But when that person is leaving or has left, the dynamics change. So now it's not two colleagues bitching about work that they both do. It becomes about you shitting on their job that they still work at and their workplace that they still work for. So like, don't badmouth the workplace to your former work friends. And in terms of like maintaining like a positive relationship with work colleagues as well, like don't leave behind like low quality work because you think you're leaving. Like when you first start a role, most of the time you probably aim to excel. You probably do some of your best work because you're committed, you're excited, you want to prove yourself, you want to create a positive reputation for yourself. And so you go above and beyond in the work that you produce for that company and for your team and colleagues. It should be the same thing when you're leaving. When you're leaving, that is going to be the final impression that they have of you. And the final impression is as important in my eyes as the first impression, because it's going to be the thing that they remember years from now. So years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 3 years from now, the way that you leave is going to be how they remember you as a person. So if they should see you in another work context, or they should be the person interviewing you for a role that you want at a different organization they have also gone to, they'll remember like the last thing you did at that workplace. And so that's why it's super important to make sure that the last impression is as positive as the first impression you created at the firm. And part of that obviously is like leaving behind good quality work, in addition to the other stuff that I talked about, like you know, having your reputation remain intact, not bad-mouthing people, all that is creating a positive last impression of who you are as a colleague and as a person in general. Now, the final thing in terms of quitting well, and this is something that I have learned the hard way, is once you quit, like once you leave a job, you've made the decision to leave, you've given your notice, you've left, you've gone somewhere else, never go back. Never go back because, one, it's kind of like going back to smell your own vomit. Like, the reasons that you left probably still apply. If there was like a poor like work-life balance, that probably hasn't changed. If the management structure was like negative to the point where bosses harassed their employees or put undue pressure on them or just behaved in a way that felt like harassing or bullying behavior, that corporate culture or that organizational culture is probably there. If you felt undervalued and that's why you left, or you felt like you were stagnating, or you felt like there weren't enough opportunities for growth, like chances are all those things apply, especially if you only left like within the last few years. Like most organizations take a very, very long time to change. And so it's very, very unlikely that things have changed meaningfully. They may look like it on the outside, but chances are like 9 times out of 10, when you go back and you work there for a short amount of time, you will find yourself in the same situation, having the same feelings, having the same experiences, and you'll probably want to quit again. So save yourself the hassle and trust past you. Trust that past you made the right decision, that past you thought about the things that were driving you into leaving, and that past you made the right call based on the information that they had access to at the time. Because what happens as well as time passes is you start to romanticize the bad things about your former workplace. So like, let's say there was a period when they didn't pay on time because they were financially struggling. You might look back on that and be like, yeah, but it was like sort of, you know, exciting being in the trenches and sort of having to work together to like make things work despite the difficulties. Or let's say like you and your colleagues all had like bosses that you didn't like, and therefore that bonded you, like the dislike for the bosses bonded you together. You might look back and be like, yeah, we were so close because we were in it together, because we were against management. You know what I mean? Like, you romanticize things that were actually bad at the time when time has passed. So again, like, trust past you. Trust that you made the right decision in the first place, and don't go back. Another reason, by the way, not to go back is that even though companies like will never show you loyalty, they do demand loyalty from you. So one of the things that you accomplish by leaving is that you tell them that you're not loyal, that you are not like a job's worth, you're not a lifer, you don't believe that you should stay with the organization like long term. And so they're never going to think that you're a loyal like employee. And what that means is, in terms of progression, it's going to affect you in some way. And the company, especially like management and the people who are decision makers, they're going to hold you at a distance, because what you have proven by walking away was that you are not somebody that they should invest in the long term, because at any given moment you can leave. And on top of that, you don't have like brand loyalty. So you will leave to go and pursue something better. And you're essentially like a flip-flopper. So save yourself the hassle of having to like go through the whole process again by just trusting previous you or past you. And so with that, I'm going to wrap up this week's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope it wasn't a depressing note to start your Monday morning off. But honestly, I know that a lot of people contemplate their work situation on a Monday as they're driving into work or getting the train to work or getting the bus to work. You know, you reflect on your job, and a lot of people think about finding like better pastures, if you will. And so given that leaving jobs is sort of an inevitable part of the labor market now, there used to be a time when, you know, our parents and grandparents might have like worked somewhere for like 20, 30, 40 years. Like, those times are gone. And not necessarily because of decisions that employees have made, just the nature of like the protections in work have changed. And so most people will quit jobs after a few years. And so it's worth thinking about when to quit and how to quit well, and quitting in a way that serves your interest. Again, thanks again for tuning in, and catch you next Monday.